Hello and welcome to Sidelines, an inside look at Cornell Athletics. I'm David Keating, and joining me today we have Barry Leonard, who's Cornell's play-by-play announcer for football, men's basketball, and men's lacrosse. Welcome, Barry. Thanks for being here.
It's a pleasure.
So you have a pretty unique perspective of Cornell Athletics in your time here, particularly in watching the rise of men's basketball and men's lacrosse, among other sports. What has been most significant in that process to you?
Well, I think having been involved with Cornell since 82, my first go-around, I was there for 5 years from 82 to 87, came back in 97. Just to see, you know, the drastic change in Cornell's philosophy about athletics, the caliber of the student athletes, and just the national, you know, notoriety. I mean, if you look at the last 4 to 5 years in particular, three Final Four appearances in lacrosse, three NCAA appearances in basketball, a Sweet 16. Just to see how Cornell's been on the national stage and how Cornell is just accepted around the country by the mainstream media, visiting broadcasters, media, whether it's newspaper, television, radio. It's been astounding to me because, you know, there were days when you'd walk into the old Barton Hall and you might have 500 people maximum in the stands or 200 people at Schoelkopf for a lacrosse game. Now, you know, Cornell is, I think, arguably the last 4 to 5 years, the preeminent athletic program in the Ivy League. And to be a part of that in some small way, you know, has been very, very gratifying, you know, particularly the way you travel with these guys, get to know the players and the coaches. You know, Jeff Tambroni, our old lacrosse coach, once said to me, "You're like our 11th guy on the field." And when a coach says something like that to you, you know, you feel, you know, that you're part of a group, but you're part of something special. And I think it's just been unparalleled, you know, what Cornell has done in the last 4 to 5 years in particular. And you mentioned, in particular, basketball and men's lacrosse.
So you mentioned some of the road trips that you've taken with these teams across the Ivy League and non-conference games as well. What sort of sticks out to you? Are there any particular memories, funny stories, or insight into those teams that you covered and as Tambroni has said, are basically at this point a part of?
Yeah, it's a lot of bus trips, a lot of late nights getting home at 2, 3 in the morning with 7 inches of snow on the ground in Ithaca. But, you know, you look over the years, you know, people constantly ask me now, you know, what's your greatest thrill? What's your greatest memory? I think being along for the whole ride is a constant thrill and memory. But, you know, there are two points, I think, that stick out to me after doing basketball for 19 years and 16 years now at lacrosse. You know, the year of the first Ivy basketball championship, 2007, we were on the road against Harvard. We were down 5 points with 30 seconds left in the game. And I think everyone in the arena at Levitis Pavilion, you know, thought this was going to be Harvard's win. Their coach, Tommy Amaker, they were trying to compare him to Coach Donahue, this dynamic young Duke grad who's resurrecting Harvard basketball. And Cornell scored 6 points in the last 30 seconds, all by Alex Tyler. And keep in mind, that was a team that went undefeated in the league that year, and it was primarily a sophomore-laden team, and Alex Tyler was a sophomore, you know, one of 6 sophomores at the time that was playing. And I'll just never forget the game-winning basket by Alex. And, it, you know, I called it, you know, a miracle in Cambridge. And, you know, it turned on to propel us, you know, for the rest of the season going undefeated in the league. And then that same year, in the spring, Cornell's first trip to the Final Four under Jeff Tambroni to get to the Final Four, obviously you had to get through the quarterfinals. You know, we were playing a very good University of Albany team at Princeton Stadium. And this is perhaps the most dramatic moment I've been a part in terms of an individual sequence at Cornell. The game was tied. It was sudden death overtime. Our best player, Max Sebald, was playing with a badly injured ankle. He chased an Albany player from behind, ran 30 yards down the field, trail checked the ball out of the player's stick, got it off to one of our attackmen, Eric Pittard, who threw it to John Glenn, who was streaking towards the goal. And to this day, I still remember seeing John extending in the air in front of the goalie, catching the ball, throwing it into the cage, and it just hit us that we're going to the Final Four. Probably the single most dramatic moment, along with Alex Tyler's individual effort in that final 30 seconds against Harvard.
So you mentioned basketball. What was it like watching all the hard work in the men's basketball program come to fruition this past spring, go into the Sweet 16 and you know, winning two games in the NCAA tournament against schools that probably bring more people in their media and are just more mainstream and bigger programs. What was that like to be a part of and to be around in the NCAA tournament?
Well, I think the feeling going into the senior year of the eight seniors on that team was, this is the last shot. You know, Cornell had won two Ivy League titles. They had broken down a 50-year barrier that had been dominated basically by Penn and Princeton over those 50 years. And it started, I guess, in the first game of the season when the team went down to Alabama to play an SEC team. Alabama won that game in the closing seconds, a first win over an SEC school in 39 years. You know, I looked at the bench and just saw a confidence in these guys that was like, you know, this is our year. This is something special. And then to go on to go to Madison Square Garden, where I used to, as a kid, watch Knick games for years and see us not only beat Davidson on a dramatic Ryan Whitman 40-foot shot at the buzzer, then beat St. John's, a Big East school, on their home floor. It was after that also, you know, I think there was just this feeling around this program that, you know, not only can we win the Ivy League, but we can seriously do some damage in the tournament. And then you just, you know, look at the whole year from going to Philadelphia and winning three games in 3 days in the Legends Classic, you know, bouncing back from a tough loss at Penn at the Palestra and two gut-wrenching down-to-the-wire victories over Princeton. And to go to the tournament, to see how the students and the fans embraced us on Selection Sunday that night at Neumann Arena, and then just the drama of the opening game. I mean, I think the people at CBS know what they're doing with the selection committee when they pitted Steve Donohue against his mentor, Fran Dunphy. You couldn't write a better Hollywood script. And to go down to Jacksonville on a chartered flight and see the camaraderie among everybody on that plane, and then just the way they played against Temple, you just knew that the next day, the day after next, that Wisconsin, you know, was not going to stop this team. So it's like being on a magic carpet ride, and you just know you're a part of something that you may not see again for many, many years. So it's very gratifying.
Right. So you mentioned a little bit about your childhood and watching some New York Knicks games, and I want to get in a little bit. How did you get into broadcasting, and what's your broadcasting style sort of like?
You know, my dad got me involved in sports when I was about 6 or 7 years old, and, you know, I wasn't a very good athlete. I like to play. I like to consider myself an athlete,
right.
But when we weren't going to Knick games or watching games on TV, he'd put the radio on in my bedroom. And back in the day, radio was much more prominent in New York. You didn't have cable or the internet. And I just was enamored with the Knicks radio announcer, Marv Albert. And I just was just taken back by listening through the radio, how he would describe a game, the pitch of his voice, just the excitement, you know, going back and forth of Knick and Ranger games. And it was at an early age that I knew that I wanted to be a broadcaster. But what cemented it for me, and there's kind of a Cornell tie to this, I went to a basketball camp for 2 years, the old New York Knicks Center, Willis Reed, up in the Catskills. Mm-hmm. Actually, it was West Point. The director of the camp was a former Cornell basketball player by the name of Dave Bliss, who's a Binghamton native, played basketball here in the 60s, of course, went on to a coaching career. At the end of the camp, when we were getting our certificates, Dave came up to me and he said, Barry, he said, stick with basketball. And then he paused and he said, in any capacity that you can. I guess he was kind of saying to me, you know, you're not going to make it as a player, but you have a true, you know, love for the game. And then upon graduating high school, I had looked at several schools with broadcast television radio degrees and came up upstate to go to Ithaca College. And, you know, from day one, you know, that was my dream, to get on the radio, but to be a broadcaster. And then from Ithaca College, I was fortunate to move back to Long Island, got a chance involved with Hofstra and CW Post down there doing their broadcasts. And then when the opportunity reopened to come back to Ithaca in 1982, came back to do Cornell basketball at the time. And then when my old roommate, who was the sports director at the time, Chris Moore, moved on to Wisconsin, they promoted me to football and lacrosse. So I was living the dream for under $12,000 a year, you know, riding buses till 1, 2 in the morning. But, you know, I just knew that that was what I wanted to do, you know, with my career. And I've been very fortunate to not only get one opportunity, but two opportunities to come back to Cornell in 1997 and have been there ever since.
Well, that's great to hear. I want to thank you for joining me, and we're looking forward to hearing more basketball and lacrosse broadcasts this spring. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Again, pleasure.
Thanks so much for watching Sidelines. Tune in next week. Let's go Red.